So when you get stuck in analysis paralysis, there is something between where you are and where you want to be that needs to be addressed. That's keeping you from going there. And we need to identify what it is that you're pretending not to know that you need to handle first. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast whose name I don't remember.
Oh, it's called Be Unemployable.
Be Unemployable.
Yeah.
I have ADHD, so I didn't remember.
That's incredible.
I was just like, fantastic. The podcast that we're doing right now.
The podcast that we're doing right now. Maggie, did you see what I put my name as for this podcast?
I only can see Crown. I can't see anything else.
It says Crown Molding Queen because, my new rental home, fun fact, Maggie, I didn't realize this until Joe pointed out, my office is the only one that has crown molding in it. It's literally the only room in the entire house.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy? And I literally told him yesterday because his office has the view of the mountains and I'm like, well, I guess I have to stay in this room because Maggie said having crown molding is like what rich people have. And I want crown molding. So I guess you can take your off or your mountain view and I will have my crown molding. And you'll also notice off to the side here is a calendar that Joe put up for me. So it's a big day. It's a big day. We have crown molding and calendars.
Calendars that have only been around for 10,000 years.
2 months. 2 months. You said that wrong.
Just started in June.
Yeah.
Just started.
Yeah. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go back to last week's episode where...
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Just kidding. Time doesn't exist when you have ADHD.
Jamie just discovered calendars. Give her a break.
Yeah, it's fine. And the funny part is... the calendar that's hung up over here, my aunt gave it to me as a gift like this last Christmas. And I knew it was a calendar because she gives me one every year. And I literally didn't open it until 2 days ago. And I took a video and I saw this.
She gives you a calendar every year.
She makes a calendar. Yeah.
Have you never opened it ever?
I have opened it. I have never used it. It's not that I don't love my aunt. She's a wonderful human. She even like goes to the extent of like putting people's birthdays in it so that like, you know the dates. I'm such an asshole. But it's not that I don't love her. It's just like I would have to open it and then I would have to find something to hang it up. And then I have to decide where to put it. And then I'd have to use it. But if Joe did all of those first steps, now all I have to do is use it. It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
So if you have an activity that has like multiple steps, just like outsource all of them but the last one. There you go. There's your business advice.
It's a wall calendar. Since we're not recording the video on this one, I'll tell you guys it's a wall calendar. And here is a little trick. You can put a wall calendar on the microwave. Or no, you can't. On the fridge, and it makes everything way easier because then all you need is a magnet. You don't have to decide where you're going to put it. Ooh. You don't have to find the things to hang it. You don't have to do any of that.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Pro tips with Maggie.
We bought the funniest magnets when we were in Iowa. There's this really cool, like very progressive store. And I bought one to send to you and I never did because of ADHD. I'll just send you a picture of it and hopefully you get the sentiment because I literally bought it for you and I forgot to send it to you.
You're like, it's on my fridge. I'll just send you a picture
I'll send you a picture. I hope that you enjoy it. But it's a cat with a rifle and it says like, watch out, Donald, this one's armored or like this one like has a gun or something. Cause you know, like grab this pussy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I literally bought it specifically for you and I never sent it. So I will probably
I've literally seen you in person since then.
Oh, yeah, you for sure have. But here's the thing. I didn't bring it.
Here's the thing. It wasn't with me.
It wasn't with me. But your video camera, what's it called? Tripod. I didn't bring that with me either. Instead, I just ordered another one and then brought that because I couldn't find the one of yours that I accidentally brought home, which that ended up being crappy. And that reminds me, I still owe you a tripod. I've been meaning to buy one and send it to you. So just go on Amazon and find one and then send me the link, please. I'll send it to your house.
Hey guys, this is housekeeping. This is not housekeeping related to the podcast. It's just listen to us talk about shit. This is what it sounds like when two people with ADHD just hash out life.
Yeah.
This is what life sounds like.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Can I talk to them about my exciting experience
Yes.
Okay,
this is great. Important, guys. Yeah. This is legit important.
Yeah, this is actually important. So I was on an ADHD medication, and I thought I was being properly medicated, but it turns out that if you are still constantly stimming and have a hard time focusing after 4 p.m. and you have a hard time processing information and your relationships are still hard after that specific time, and your doctor tells you to take medication breaks, even though you spiral on those days, you're not actually properly medicated. So I found a doctor here in Colorado. I literally Googled ADHD psychiatrist, and he was one of the first people to call me back. And he does everything via text. It's the greatest fucking thing in the world. I think he also has ADHD, so he knows what works for us. But anyway, he is very, very well versed in ADHD. He understands not only what happens at the level of the brain, but how it affects your life and your self-esteem. And he also, he said, you're treated like a drug addict if you have ADHD and you're just trying to get on a stimulant medication. I'm like, oh my God, thank you for understanding. So anyway, he's working with me to get on the right dose of the same medication, testing out which works better between the extended release and the instant release. And I can't even tell you how different my life is being on the proper dose of ADHD medication. It has dramatically affected my relationship with Maggie. As far as Maggie was always incredibly understanding, and I'm very fortunate in that she knew what was happening when I was spiraling, and she was the one that told me, hey, you're having a hard time functioning. Had she not told me, I would have had a hard time realizing that. But anyway, it has totally transformed my relationship with my business partner, my relationship with my husband, my relationship with myself and my self-esteem, my ability to study for the NBCOT exam. I rescheduled it, Maggie, for September 16th. So I will be retaking it that day because now I feel confident in being able to study and focus. And I've been getting a lot more questions right because I'm reading them correctly. So if you're having trouble and you're already on medication or you're wondering if medication could work for you, I always tell people I'm not pro or anti-med. I'm pro-function. And a lot of us with ADHD need medication to be functional on a day-to-day basis to where our relationships and our lives aren't derailed. So I just want to tell you that even as someone with a master's of OT degree, sometimes it's hard to know when you need that extra help, and it helps to have a coach. It helps to have even just friends that are going to be honest with you about what they can see too. So I thanked Maggie profusely for telling me, and then she's like, well, thank you for getting help. I'm like, no, I want to be functional. Sometimes it's hard to know when you're not functioning. So anyway, life has been dramatically different this last week, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah, it's awesome to see her progress. And I'm really excited that she is doing as well as she is. But that's what I mean when I was like, listen up, because her experience
yeah.
is really inspirational.
Thank you. Thank it's a big you. Deal. Thank you. Thank you. So yeah, things are good.
Let's talk about what we're here to talk about.
Let's talk about what we're going to say, ADHD and analysis paralysis.
Yes. So that is the topic this week, and it has a lot to do with not only the procrastination of it all, but also finding the right tools, which is, as Jamie told me the other day through text, literally what occupational therapy is.
Yeah.
And then she told me my master's degree would be in the mail.
Yeah. I did. You're just like, I'm having trouble with my hand. I'm just going to, you know, find some workarounds and still do things. I'm like, that's literally what OT is. Like, I'm a person. I'm having this trouble. I want to do this thing. How are we going to do the thing? That's literally what OT is. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I've been doing. And I'll update more after my next doctor's appointment, but I'm pretty sure it's just arthritis because I'm elderly. Actually, it's most likely because I've broken so many bones in this hand. And now as I age, my joints are like, the hell? So
for those who are not familiar, she's wearing a compression glove for the pain. But for those who don't know how old Maggie is, I know you're under the impression right now that she's 76. She's actually only 41. So when she's talking to you about how fucking old she is, she's exaggerating just ever so slightly. She's younger than my oldest brother.
I'm an elder or a geriatric millennial.
Geriatric millennial. I love that. That's me.
So, yeah, I am. But I've broken this hand and wrist multiple times. So I am not surprised that it is now acting up as I age. It's just how it is. Yeah. So anyway, my point was we're here to give you some tools that have worked for us, how we run businesses when we suffer from analysis paralysis at times, and why we suffer from analysis paralysis as neurodivergent people. Yeah. So let's talk about it. Let's get into it. Let's unpack this.
Okay. Pulls out suitcase, unlatches.
Pulls out 42 vintage suitcases because I have an addiction.
She's not even joking.
Maybe I have an addiction. Maybe I don't. I don't know. It doesn't matter. So when it comes to analysis paralysis, let's talk about this. Have you ever struggled from it, Jamie?
Oh, I have never, ever in my life struggled with analysis paralysis.
Who are these people? I don't know them.
So when I hired you, I was like, you know what? I already pretty much know what I'm doing. I'm implementing them beautifully. I just really wanted someone to hang out with, and you seemed like a lot of fun.
So I'm a professional friend. That's my job. Professional BFF.
Yeah.
So that was obviously a joke. We have all suffered from, and by we have all, I mean like all of the people with ADHD I know, and most of the people who don't have ADHD have also suffered from it. Like, it's common. And I suffer from it too. Like, not always, but I'll find myself going in a circle around stuff that I know the answer to. And before we get into why we do it. I do want to say this, and this is going to sound kind of shitty, and I've said it before, maybe not on this podcast, but I've said it before. If you've spoken to me, I've said it. Confusion is a choice.
Oh, that hurt a little bit.
Yep. When you get to a certain amount, blah, 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 blah. When you get to a certain amount of information, you are continuing and you still feel confused. It's a choice at that point. You are pretending not to know what to do. You are pretending not to know the next step. And you're doing it to keep yourself safe. So, that being said, let's talk about it.
There's so many ways we could start this conversation. From why you seek such an enormous amount of information from like the level of your brain as someone with ADHD. Can I start with that so that like
people
know that? So like I always like to tell people, I like to explain like what's going on at the level of your brain so that you know that your behavior is like you're not a horrible person, that you're more susceptible to it because of how your brain works. So with ADHD, we're totally dopamine deprived, right? And that's that feel good chemical in your brain. Well, when you're completely depleted, deprived of it, we're constantly seeking new experiences, exciting experiences. What is new and exciting, especially if you have a business, learning more things. How do I, you know, do the lead generation? How do I talk to people? How do I position myself to look like an expert? How do I find the affiliates I want to find? How do I, you know, so we're really great at gathering information. And we're really good at processing information that we find incredibly, like stimulating, fun, right? And not so good at implementing it, because if we were to implement it, we would get further in our business, which would require us to talk to people, put our offer out there, and possibly, I don't know, get rejected. And I don't know if you've ever heard, but a lot of us have this thing called rejection sensitivity dysphoria, and it makes things really fucking uncomfortable, especially in the beginning when you are getting your offer out there. So what's easier? Oh God, I don't know how to do that. Bitch, yes you do. You're choosing not to because maybe trauma.
Yeah. So one of the most common things I hear is, I don't know what my next step should be here. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know how to get more clients. Something along that I don't know. And then when we unpack it, they do know, they just don't want to do that because it's uncomfortable. And when something is uncomfortable and you're neurotypical, the advice is do it anyway. No, don't do it. When you're neurodivergent and you just do it anyway, it can end in a fiery blaze, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to figure out like, what is the uncomfortable part? And then we need to work through that. Mm-hmm. So analysis paralysis is you thinking, okay, well, I can't do this because I need to do this first. Mm-hmm. Wrong. You're normally wrong. Whatever you think the next step is you need to do, that's your brain telling you you need to do that next step first. There's most likely a step in between those two that you actually need to do. And you can talk it out with somebody. That's probably how you'll find that step. And Jamie can attest to it. Normally, when we talk things through, there is a hidden half step that needs to be worked through before that next step can happen.
Yep.
Because if you don't do that hidden half step, whatever it is, and we'll talk about examples, but if you don't do that, you will keep stopping yourself or you'll sabotage yourself.
Yep.
So it's different for us in that we can't just push through because it's going to make a bigger dumpster fire on the other side.
Yeah.
Don't believe people who tell you, oh, just do it. No. Piss off.
No, they can go fuck themselves.
Treat yourself kindly and figure it out. So examples of like that hidden half step. So do you mind if I use you as an example?
Oh, I was going to. Go right ahead, because okay. I am a prime fucking example of that as of recently.
So Jamie was looking for ways to market herself, right? And to grow her audience. And she was looking at all these different ways, and she was thinking about starting an independent podcast. But that's not a great use of her time. We have this. We have a podcast. We're going to be changing this format where she does solo episodes, I do solo episodes, and then we do combined episodes. That way, if you want straight business advice, you get it. If you want straight OT advice, you get it. And then if you want our banter, you get it. Right? It's a great in between. But she was doing that. She was focusing on this unproductive idea because she didn't want to get to the point where she was actually talking to people one-on-one again. Because remember, she was on a break from selling. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to get back to that point because she didn't want to have that conversation where, okay, she's enrolling again. She needs to deal with the issues that come with enrolling. It could be rejection. It could be scaling. It could be hiring. It could be whatever the issues are. Mm-hmm. She wasn't ready to tackle those. So she kept herself in this, like, just mire of unproductive, non-issues.
Oh, yeah. From the outside, I was very busy. Doing shit I shouldn't have been doing.
So she was creating, and that's how analysis paralysis can look. It can look like I'm busy figuring this out. I'm doing this. I'm absolutely paralyzed by which direction I should be going in.
Oh, and I was like really good. Oh, sorry. I didn't
mean to
interrupt you.
You can go.
I was really good at saying like, well, I'm doing it very strategically. Like I'm waiting to bring on people until then. I'm waiting until then. And I would just like would say like, this is strategic. And then I looked back, I'm like, you fucking idiot. Well, I shouldn't have said that because I need to be kinder to myself. So I said, instead, right. I said, here, listen, it actually has to do with, you know, maybe some fear of abandonment. And Maggie said, you're worried that these people will abandon you because you're in your Facebook group, you're interacting with them, and you're worried that when you tell them, hey, you could work with me, they're going to go away. And I'm like, oh, she told me what's actually happening. So now I have to deal with it. So really what I need to work on more than anything is my fear of abandonment, which stems from, you know, my dad being a piece of shit. So really what I need to do for my business is to work on that, getting some trauma therapy. So that's what I'm
again,
doing.
That's not what I do. Ha ha ha.
No, you do not do trauma therapy.
I do not do therapy.
I do not do therapy. No. Which we're still gonna, you and I are still going to be doing things and helping me through it. But I know that that's correct. Another thing I need to work on to get to that next step in the business too.
Correct. So when you get stuck in analysis paralysis, there is something between where you are and where you want to be that needs to be addressed. That's keeping you from going there. Mm-hmm. And we need to identify what it is that you're pretending not to know that you need to handle first.
Mm-hmm.
And asking yourself, what is it that you're pretending not to know? You might not be able to see it. So there's a couple problems. You can ask yourself that question, and that might provide you some answers if you are in tune with yourself to that level.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might not. You might need somebody who knows what you've been through, what you're going through, what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then yeah, you need a coach or somebody for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rarely, and I've said this to Jamie, and Jamie repeats it back to me often, it's very rarely a business problem.
Mm-hmm.
Issues just show up in your business. But it's very rarely a business problem.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, any of the big things other than, like you said, business is like A plus B equals C. Like, mm-hmm. that is true if you are neurodivergent, if you're neurotypical, whatever. It's the big shit. Like, the things that you help me work through that I've had to work through, you know, layers and layers, is the money blocks and the fear of abandonment. Those two things were not business issues, but they greatly fucking affected my business.
Yes. And it's an issue of when you're stuck in analysis paralysis, when you're stuck in procrastinating and self-sabotaging, and you're stuck in these things,
mm-hmm.
there's something else going on. And as neurodivergent people, we are more prone to this because of exactly what you were talking about, the way our brains are wired with seeking dopamine. So we are more prone to procrastinating. We are more prone to our hyperfocuses, learning what's lighting us up right now.
Mm-hmm.
We are more prone to these things. So in order to figure out what comes next, we need to then look at what's keeping you stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation sucks.
It's hard. Yeah, I'm not going to say it's easy. It's
fucking
hard. No,
it sucks. And you know what? That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because anyone who makes progress has to have a shitty conversation.
Absolutely. And the weight that you feel off your shoulders once you've worked through it. Like, I thought that I worked really hard through the money blocks. And when I had roadblocks, I thought, well, what the fuck? Like, I didn't work through the money blocks yet. And then when Maggie told me, well, this is actually a whole different thing. It's just your fear of abandonment. Just go do the thing. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, good talk. But I did, I started the homework actually today that you talked about during the episode of fear of being seen, where you can take the same exact exercise listing off those things. Like, so I listed off like all the different times that I felt abandoned in my life. So I have to go through each one of them now, which is the hard part, and do that one prayer, which
Ho'oponopono.
Yeah. I couldn't remember the name of that prayer. And remind me again, is it, you go through the exercise or each thing and then you say, what is it? Thank you.
I love you. Oh my God. Don't make me I can't remember things on the spot. Don't you know how our brains work?
I know. I was trying to remember earlier. I couldn't even remember the name of the prayer. I was going to call it like the Hawaiian prayer because I had no, I could well, not it is, remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. Hold on. I just Googled it because I need to remember as well. I'm sorry. I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you. No, that can't be it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. No, that's not it. I Googled it and there's like
I'm
a billion
sorry,
versions.
Or it's like, it's I forgive you.
Yeah.
I love you. Thank you. Isn't that what it is? I'm sorry. I love you. I forgive you. Thank you.
Something like that.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm going to be going through and doing that with every single thing.
Like, don't. This part is, you need to go back and listen to that episode because I can't remember it for the life of me right now.
It's okay.
I was Googling it and like 30 different versions came up and I was like, none of these feel good. I don't like them. So yeah, that prayer or that mantra or that whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
It is.
It's so good. And it's freeing. And mm-hmm. part of what you're doing when you do that is you just forgive the entire experience. And you don't necessarily forgive like
the person
entirely.
Yeah.
Yes. You forgive the experience.
Right.
You forgive all of that energy. But that person, like, they can go, you know.
They can go fly a fucking kite.
Right. Like, They can go pound sand. Who cares? But they freeing up that energy so that you have it for yourself is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what helps you to work around it. Mm-hmm. Now, a big part of this and getting to that point is having the right tools, being able to get to be able to get past analysis paralysis, to get past procrastinating learning, and to get past all of the stuff that we all suffer from, and we all suffer from it, just so we're on the same page. But your first thing that you want to have in your toolbox is a therapist in general, like a general therapist. If you need a trauma therapist, go that route, whatever kind of therapist fits your life. The next one is if your ADHD is not functional, like if you haven't figured out how to work with it yet, work with someone like Jamie. Because she has workarounds and she has tools that will get you to a place where you are sleeping through the night. You're getting shit done. You're actually, like, she just discovered calendars. So wait until she tells you about them.
Incredible. And learning how to use a calendar, it's crazy. That's not part of my 16-week program.
Thank God.
Probably because I wasn't even using one at the time.
You have like this program and you're like, make sure you write it down somewhere because who knows how, I don't know how to keep a track of appointments. That's not, we don't talk about that at all because appointments. What are
appointments? It's so funny though, because even before I was using calendars, I have never missed a session with you because I always looked forward to it so much.
Yeah, you were always... Oh, you're always on time and at sessions.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a preferred, like, I really look forward to seeing you. Now, it's crazy because I would just happen to forget my appointments with a therapist that didn't really, help me a whole lot. That's crazy. I don't know how that happened, but it's like, I didn't want to be there and I didn't remember it. Oh my gosh, that's insane. I have no idea why. I keep forgetting. So.
It's so weird how my brain just did that.
Yeah.
Huh, what do you think that means?
Crazy.
So, but yeah, now you can make it a 17-weeker and you can actually teach them what a calendar is.
Yeah. I'm thinking of like, where do I put that? Like week two? I'm not sure. Like
week one. This is a calendar. I don't know if you've heard of it, but we're going to use it. Okay. On to the rest of the course.
Yeah.
But, by the way, calendars are free. You can get one on Google.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You're
groundbreaking.
It's insane.
Groundbreaking.
It's yeah.
Wild.
So, yeah. Yeah. Don't even worry about dealing with your trauma. If you're using calendars, I mean, you'll be just fine. Like,
you heard it here first. Don't worry about trauma. Just get a calendar.
Just get a calendar.
And then you can mark down all the anniversaries of your trauma.
Don't do that. One thing I wanted to say that you can use as, so when you go through the prayer and you're saying like, I love you, I forgive you, thank you. Like I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but like a lot of us with ADHD are like oppositional defiant. And if we hear someone tell us to say, right, crazy. If we hear someone say like, oh, forgive them or forgive the situation. It's like, no, go fuck yourself. Well, how I think of it is every time that, that I allow abandonment get in the way of my business and my relationships, I am continuing to allow my father to control my life. And I'll be fucking damned if I'm going to let that continue to happen. I'm going to work really, really, really hard so that he has no handle on any part of my life. So that is what motivates me to do the hard work, is when I realize I'm doing this to free myself from him. So if you think of it that way when you're doing the prayer. It's not to forgive them. It's so that you don't let that experience have a handle on you anymore.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Like when I released a lot of my trauma, that's exactly how I viewed it. It's releasing any hold that they had, whether or not it was a subconscious hold, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that I behaved in a way that allowed them to have control over me. And I was not about to do that anymore, because the whole reason I am who I am is because I overcame that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. I am extremely defiant. Extremely. Like, literally, someone will be like, go sit over there. And I will promptly stand in the opposite corner.
Mm-hmm.
Because do not tell me where to sit. Like, mm-hmm. do not tell me what to do. Like, go sit over there. Okay, cool. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stand in the complete opposite side of the room because no.
Right.
Do not tell me what to do.
Right.
And knowing, like, going through that work and finally deciding to do it and seeing the changes
mm-hmm.
made it all worth it.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
This whole episode really has, I know it's a lot of anecdotal type stuff, but it's very real when you put it into practice. It's very like,
mm-hmm.
figure out where it is that you are spiraling, like where it is that you are just staying put and you're just, you know, wearing out the ground under your feet, walking in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out where that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then let's take a look around that area. What's the next step? Because in between those two, there is something. And that's actually what's keeping you stuck.
And once you get past that half step, there's probably going to be several parts of your business that are no longer an issue anymore. Like, my fear of abandonment, I had this idea, like, I need to hire a salesperson. Why did I want to hire a salesperson? Because I didn't want to be doing the sales, because guess what? What if I was doing the sales and somebody rejected me? And then I thought, well, I can't bring any more people into my program until, you know, I have my certification completely done, because, you know, I need to be able to give them the best care possible. I don't want to be overextending myself. When in reality, I did a damn good job checking in daily, Monday through Friday, with my existing clients, and it wouldn't be that much more to check in with a few more clients. They're on the same damn channel. Mm-hmm. Why did I want to do that? Because, again, I would have to talk to people, let them know my services, and then hear them say, yes, I would love to try it, or no, I don't want to. So, and then, again, the extra bullshit that I put on my plate, like another whole podcast. Now that's all of a sudden not there, and I have the energy and the space to be able to talk to people. And also, I'm reminding myself to be kind to myself when I am having those conversations, because now I am really engaging with not only my Facebook community, but one-on-one in direct messages to see how I can help them. And when somebody doesn't, you know, respond back with much text, or if I'm left on read, or I'm feeling a certain way, I'm also kind to myself, recognizing, hey, it's that fear of abandonment. Like, I'm really proud of you for still continuing to do it anyway. So I'm really being kind to myself through that process. I'm not trying to talk to all 200 people in the Facebook group. I'm reaching out to specific people, and it's been really great. And everyone that I've talked to has been very kind. And another thing is, if you're letting that fear of abandonment or, you know, money blocks get in the way of talking to people, think about all those people you could be helping that you're not able to help as well, which is also a constant that gets me past my roadblocks, is that if I get in my own way, I can't help people. And I fucking refuse to be in that state.
Yep. That's the, it's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
It's almost selfish.
Mm-hmm.
To continue to worry about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the opposite of what we're taught, especially now when there's such a high focus on self-care. And I agree 110% mm-hmm. with that. But if you're going to continue to wring your hands over the same thing repeatedly, which is anxiety,
mm-hmm.
you need to decide if you're going to address it or not. Mm-hmm. And if not, then you chose your path.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to come to peace with that.
I would argue that getting through that is self-care. Like you said, like
it is.
Self-care isn't bubble baths. It's boundaries. Correct. Like self-care yep. isn't just, you know, getting a facial and going to get a pedicure with your bestie. It's going to therapy and talking about those shitty things that happened when you were way too young and getting past it. Like that is self-care.
Yeah, that's way, way more important mm-hmm. than any bubble bath that you're gonna take.
Yeah. Yeah. So self-care doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it feels really crappy.
Right? Sometimes self-care feels like shit, but you know what?
Yeah.
It doesn't, that feeling doesn't last.
Mm-hmm.
You come out on the other side and it feels a lot better.
Yeah. So here's the thing too. When you realize that you're doing this and that you're getting in your own way, typically what we do as ADHDers, those of us with autism as well, we're really good at berating ourselves when we find out what was happening. Like I've had so many, like some people call them like come to Jesus moments. I'm not a religious person, so I don't, but it's like epiphanies, breakthroughs, breakthroughs. And as I've had a lot of these with Maggie lately, it's just like my knee-jerk reaction was to then say, well, why the fuck haven't you been doing it the entire time? So I asked Maggie, it's like, how do you talk to yourself when you realize you've not been functioning to the best of your ability, whether it be the wrong medication, working through trauma you haven't done yet? And she's just like, talk to yourself as you would a friend. And I'm like, wow, what a fucking novel idea. I never tell my clients this, but it's hard. Like even that's why even us coaches need coaches. Like yeah. I'm a coach, but I still need you because I need that reminder. So yep. be kind to yourself as you're having.
You would never talk to a client or a friend the way that you talk to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So treat yourself like a client or a friend.
Yeah. Yep.
Like when you're having, and that's the thing in general with, and I say this a lot. This is something that I say a lot. It's a Maggieism, really.
Mm-hmm.
As you find outdated, whatever it is, outdated beliefs, outdated thoughts that you've had, and like whatever it is, just get rid of them. Don't beat yourself mm-hmm. up for what, because when you clean out your closet, you don't beat yourself up for the clothes you're getting rid of, right?
Right.
So treat it like that. It's a thing that no longer serves you. You're getting rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yep.
When I clean out my closet, I don't go, oh no, I'm getting rid of a sweater. Oh my God. No, I don't go, oh, I'm so mm-hmm. stupid for not being able to wear the sweater anymore.
Yeah.
What? No, I just get rid of it.
Yep.
You go, oh, that sweater. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happens with your beliefs.
Yes.
Same thing happens with the hurdles that you need to cross.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get rid of them, you go, oh, that no longer serves me. Okay, I'm going to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Yep. A metaphor I thought of and I've been using a lot lately is telling someone with ADHD to just do better is mm-hmm. like telling somebody who doesn't have legs to just run. You don't, like someone with that doesn't have legs, they need prosthetics and they need PT. They need the school, they need the skills and they need the training. With us with ADHD and autism, we need the skills and we need the training. Until you have those things, it's counterproductive to expect that of yourself. It's just not going to happen. So try to look at that in that light too.
Yeah, it's just, you can't be like, hey, go walk it off. Like, mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
No.
No. So, yeah.
Yeah. We also didn't choose. We also didn't choose the brain that we were born with, which there's nothing wrong with your brain. There's amazing things. But a lot of these things are more common with people with brains like ours. So I just want to say you weren't born with this brain and you didn't choose the family that you were born into. And a lot of these things come from those two things. So again, a level of be kind to yourself. This was out of your control to begin with. Okay, that was my last thing. I just had to make sure I said that too.
Yeah. So that that feels complete.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, good. So thanks for tuning in again this week. Since I couldn't even remember the name of the podcast, that was pretty exciting.
Oh, we haven't been asking people to like and subscribe. Do we care about that? I feel like it helps people to find our podcast.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay.
You should definitely do that.
So go in your calendar and put an event, like and subscribe, Be Unemployable Podcast, and then it'll get done. There you go.
That's good. Set a reminder. Set a reminder and have it chime.
Have it chime. Yeah.
Do all the things.
Do a fun little sound. So it's just like, it's different than your normal one. It's like, oh, what's that? Oh, that's right. Those two cool ladies from the Be Unemployable podcast. They asked me to do this.
Yes. Do that. And make sure, unless you don't like it, in that case, do not do this and turn this off right now and stop listening to us and don't ever review us.
Yeah.
We don't care what you have to say. Stop. We don't. Stop listening and go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah. That.
Yeah.
That. Go do that.
But if you like us, you should definitely.
Go like and subscribe. I was going to ask you to tell a friend about us, but you know what, friend? I don't want to give you too many things in one week. This week, I just want you to like and subscribe. That's too much. It's too clingy, isn't it? It probably comes from my fear of abandonment, right? I want them to come back and I want more people.
Jamie has things to work through. This week, I'm working through the fact that, like, if you don't like us, I don't like you then either.
Yeah.
It's my defiant disorder.
Yeah. And I'm working through
like
the thought of.
I don't like you.
Right. And I'm working through the thought of you not coming back to listen, which will break my heart. So just like, don't tell me about
break
it right
Jamie's
now.
Heart.
Wait until I go through some more therapy. And then you can let me know that you don't enjoy it. But not right now. I'm not ready.
Don't break her heart. Aww. All right. I think we're good.
All right.
Unless you don't like us again, then you can piss off. Right. Nobody needs that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.